end of Mizmor Lamed Gimel on page 292. 292 Pasuk Yud Ches Mizmor Lamed Gimel. Hinei Ein Hashem El Yiriyav Lamayachalim L'chasto. Behold, the eye of Hashem is El, is towards Yiriyav, is to those who fear him. Lamayachalim L'chasto, those who yearn for his kindness. This is a very interesting pasuk because here we are describing the person at the same time who has both yira and rach, midas hadin, midas harachamim. Ordinarily, when we focus on the midas hadin, midas harachamim, we separate one from the other. And even in the rare instances where we put the two together, we put the two together from the perspective of Hashem. Hashem, at the one hand, is someone, he deals with humanity. Hashem, he deals with harshness. Midas hadin, bereshis bara Elokim, es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. Elokim is midas hadin. Hashem, his original intent was to create the world with midas hadin. When he saw the world cannot survive with midas hadin, he joined midas rachamim. Biyoim asois Hashem Elokim es hashamayim ve'haaretz. Am I saying that correctly? Biyoim asois Hashem Elokim es Hashemayim v'aretz. Doesn't sound right.
Es
Hashemayim v'aretz. Es Hashemayim v'aretz.
Es Hashemayim.
Eretz
v'shamayim. Es
Shemayim.
Eretz v'shamayim. V'yoy masos Hashem Elokim Eretz v'shamayim. We have some experts in Tanakh here who know who calls our kulope. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaray. Mr. Cohen, thank you for the coffee. You spoil me rotten. Okay, you spoil me rotten. Okay, I went to a Shabbat brachas and they said that the Kala, when she was little, her grandmother gave her everything she could possibly want. The grandmother gave the little girl, little baby, gave it. So the mother of the daughter-in-law said to the girl, you know, you're spoiled. Bobby gives you everything. Whatever you want, you get. You're a spoiled girl. So this little girl, she goes around and she tells her friends, my Bobby is spoiled. She gets the gig. She gets to give me whatever she wants. Okay? You hear what you want to hear. So when we focus, you spoil me, Mr. Cohen. You give me this delicious coffee every day. Over here, we're dealing over here with yira and chesed. Ordinarily,
why
we
can't it be pulled together? Bnei Hashem, who's midas hadin, El Yireyah, the ones who need it, these people want the chesed.
Yeah, but that's not the focus. It says Hashem is looking at El Yireyah. El Yireyah means the people.
Should be getting
good. No, but it's describing the frame of mind of the people. The people are coming to Hashem with yira. They're afraid of Hashem
because they wanted a din.
Because they're in a frame of mind of din. Hashem is going to judge us. Yet at the very same time, the people who are coming to Hashem with yira, they're yearning for Hashem's rachamim. So the people. It's incredible. The people themselves are viewing Hashem at the same time as an object of din and an object of rachamim.
Who can give us rachamim?
That's a very sophisticated focus. When you go in front of a melech bosa v'dach, you're afraid. You're afraid. Do you go in front of him? Oh, he's my buddy. He's going to be so good and kind to me. You'll be lucky if you get out alive. What?
You don't go in. You go with trepidation in front of the judge, and you ask for rachamim.
You ask. So here it's more than that. Lamayachalim l'chasto. You acknowledge that the melech has in him a soft spot. He has a desire to do chesed. But if the person has this soft spot, then he's not someone who you're really afraid of. Because the two don't normally go together. Okay, I hear he's saying every time you go before the melech bosa, but then you go in front of a judge, you're afraid. You're afraid what they're going to do to you, and you're hoping that he's going to hand down a lenient sentence. So there's also a yearning for chesed. All right, Fine, okay, but over here, whatever it is, you're combining together both of these midos in one shot. Let's read in the Pasuk test. L'hatzil mimavis nafsham. What is the chesed that we yearn for in Hashem? That he should save, he should spare from death, nafsham, their souls. U'lechayoytzom borov. And to give them life at times of famine, times of hunger. There appears to be some poetic repetition. We have to see the deep meaning of what this means. Pasuk chaf. Nafshenu chikasol l'Hashem. Now we have a new word. The word chikasol is also, it's very similar to the word yearning. Lama yachalim. What is the difference between the word lama yachalim and the word chikasol? Chikasol has that same connotation of expectation. Look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Chikasol, kivisol. He translates as yearning. Kivisi. Kivisi means I yearn. Isn't that what it means? Lama yachalim. What then is the difference? So we have to see in a few moments. Next. Ezreinu umaginenu hu Hashem. This we say everything in Shemona Esrei. Melech oizer umoshia umogen. There are really three different expressions. There is oizer, there is a moshia, and there is a mogen. Over here, if you notice, we left out the word umoshia. We skipped the middle word. Just Ezreinu and umoginenu, our assistance and our shield. Kivo in Hashem yismach libenu, we take joy. Kivishem kodesho v'otochnu, because we have faith in His holy name. Yi chastuch Hashem aleinu, we make a bakasha. David concludes, may the kindness of Hashem be upon us. Kasher, just as yichalnu loch, a third word, it's not two, it's back to the first part, pasuk yuchas. Lama yachalim, it's the same exact lama yachalim in a different form. And just as we have yearned in you. Let's see the mitzvah established starting with Pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Yudches, Ein Hashem, Hashkochas Hashem, Hi al Yireyav, Asher Yikavu Lechasto. The Ein Hashem here is an expression which means Hashem's divine providence, the eyes of Hashem.
It's a continuation
of what we said before. The eyes, the word of the eyes is something which is, you know, we're coming now over here to Tisha B'Av, Eini Yardumayim. My eyes, they flow with tears. It's one of the most popular expressions describing, capturing the essence of the Churban. Eini yardumayim. Eyes is the window of the soul. But eyes is also used often in Chumash to represent different emotions. For example, this right here. This over here, it says, Hine Ein Hashem, the eye of Hashem. When we use this expression, Ein, it refers to Hashkocha. Hashem is protecting us. He is intervening. He is involved in our lives. When Hashem disappears, when Hashem enters into a mode of the Onochi Haster Aster Panai, the eyes of Hashem are closed, Kaviyach. And when Hashem's eyes are closed, that causes our eyes to be in pain. Number two, we had not long ago in Parshas by Korach. Korach, when Moshe was mispalel for Klal Yisrael, when Moshe was mispalel for the third time, he says, Ki ayin ba'ayin, you can remember the pasuk, Ki ayin ba'ayin nira ato Hashem. When was that tefillah? When did Moshe say those words? Ayin bi ayin nira Hashem. Hashem at one point wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, and Hashem said, "Don't destroy." I think it was by Korach. Don't destroy. Only a few people over here have made trouble. Why do you have to go destroy the entire Klal Yisrael? What was Moshe's argument? Is that it'll be a chilul Hashem, because the nations of the world witnessed firsthand how you took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And if now you're going to destroy them in the desert, they're going to say, Nibli Yecholas Hashem. Hashem does not have the power to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. So, as an introduction to that argument, Moshe says, Ki ayin ba'ayin nira Hashem aleichem. It's a very, an eye to an eye, did you, Hashem, appear to the Jewish people? What do those words mean? Ayin ba'ayin, it's a very bizarre expression. So Rashi explains, if not for Rashi, we know what this means altogether. It means love. The expression, ayin ba'ayin, Rashi's words are, it's an expression of chiba, of love. When you love someone, you look at them in the eye. When you don't like someone, you just look You know, you look at the person, a big, just you know, look at an abstraction of the person. You look at the wall on top of him, the side of him. When you don't like someone, it's so true. When you don't like someone, you cannot bring yourself to look at them. So if you need to be polite, and so you look in that direction. You make believe you're looking at them. But you don't make eye contact. It's a very powerful political, it's a very powerful koyach in dealing with people.
Right.
You look at them. When you look at them, you have it makes an impression. Eye contact is an incredibly powerful technique. I remember the debate between Biden and Trump in the second round, the second election, and I noticed over and over again, Biden is a seasoned politician. He's been doing this for 50 years. This is nonsense. He's a seasoned politician, and at the debate, every time he spoke, he looked into the camera. He looked straight into the camera. He knew where the camera was. They probably have multiple cameras, obviously. I'm sure they know they focus on him. And he looked into the camera and he spoke to the American people, no matter what he said, even if he said total nonsense. Trump, unfortunately, with all his milers, he's not a seasoned politician. This is nonsense. And when he spoke, even though he said incredibly powerful statements that are true, he was all over the place. His eyes, when he was moving around, looking at Biden, looking at this one, or maybe the people who are controlling the cameras. I don't think there was ever a moment in that debate where Trump looked into the camera to look into the eyes of the American people. With Trump? Well, he didn't go back to the videotape. I'm sure it's on Google. You can look up. I remember this. I was very disturbed. I remember is that you're losing the debate because this is just a television show. It's you know it's all public opinion. Subconsciously, people need to see you look in their eye. When you deal with the public, there's a koyach.
Sure, he had advice, but he didn't take it.
What?
I would imagine he got advice, but he didn't take it.
Whatever.
Looking into a camera is not the same as looking into a person's eyes.
Yeah, but it's the same thing because people are watching. The whole world, millions of people are watching. And if they're watching, and it's a technique. You're looking at them, you're looking right at them. Of course, in real life, how much, but in real life today, how many people are social distancing and you can't, how many people can you look at already today? You know, you look at a small segment. There's a tremendous koyach when you speak to someone to look at them. To look at them and to let them feel that you're giving them your full attention. And Rashi in Chumash says it's an expression of chiba. Ayin be'ayin nira Hashem. I think aleichem, aleichem. No, nira Hashem.
Nira
Hashem. Nira. Nira ato Hashem. Rashi. Lashon chiba. It's an expression of love.
But if it's in, then you're not supposed to look at the Russians.
Don't look at
it.
So you're saying an idea. You see, you're saying very good. I never thought of it like that. I thought you look at a Russia, somehow there's a supernatural. So you have Mordechai, you're saying something very, very interesting, fascinating thing. There's a halacha that you're not supposed to look at a Russia. So I always thought the reason why you're not supposed to be brainwashed, you don't look at a Russia because the Russia is a koyach of tumma. And when you look at the Rasha, the rishus, the koyach ha-tumah of the Rasha can cause you harm. It can enter into your neshama. That's what I thought. But Mordechai is saying the sapa shot. There's another. Because don't give the, when you look at a Rasha, that's chiba. When you look at a Rasha in his face, it's not what he'll do to you. It's what you're doing to yourself. You're showing love for the Rasha. That makes an impression upon you. Oh, you know, I love the Rasha. It's not a good thing to love a Rasha. That's a very high one. It's a very powerful idea. You don't need to come onto Kabbalistic concepts. That looking at a Rasha, the Rasha's koyach of rishus is going to come into your neshama. You know, that's a Kabbalistic concept. But on a very practical level, what Mordechai is saying is, don't look at a Rosh, because when you look at a Rosh, you're doing it's an expression of chiba. Ki ayin ba'ayin nira atah, get it ready, nira atah Hashem. So here, when it says here in this pasuk Yudches, hinei ein Hashem el yireyof. That's ayin ba'ayin. So when we go back, Moshe said to Hashem, the whole world watched how you showed, expressed love for the Jewish people when you miraculously took them out of Egypt. And now, in the desert, you destroy them. What's the world going to say? So, Rashi in Chumash and Parashas Korach. You showed love to the Jewish people. You can't just destroy them. It'll be a Chilul Hashem beyond belief. And Hashem said, you're right.
Excuse me, I knew it. I'm doing the psukim. It's by Shalach. It's by the
Meraglim. Okay, by the Meraglim. By the Meraglim. Hashem wanted to destroy them, the Jew, but the Ram. Ki ayin the ayin nira ato Hashem. What an amazing pasuk.
And what do the paragraph ends by Yomer Hashem Shalach to Barak?
What do those words mean? Ayin the ayin? What's ayin the ayin mean? Eye to an eye? Ever think about that? It, looking from your eye into the eye of your friend is an expression of chiba, love. So here we have a beautiful lupsha in the pasuk, based upon what Rashi and Chumash says. Hine, ein Hashem el yireyof. Hashem loves the people who fear Hashem. A person who is yorei shamayim is the recipient of Hashem's chiba. Lamayachlim lechasto, and likewise, a person who is yearning for the kindness of Hashem is a recipient of Hashem's chiba, love. It would, if Rashi over here in the Mitzvah stuff, it simplifies it too much, I think. He's saying Hashem is Hashkocha Pratis. No, you're on a list that Hashem is going to, you know, watch. Just because you watch over a person doesn't mean you love them. You know, you work in the security industry. You have to protect your client whether you like him or not. Okay, if you're working for a security team. Doesn't make it. They interview some of these people in the Secret Service, and they say to them, "You know, you're protecting this person. Do you ascribe to his political views? You know, you're protecting a certain person. But you're a registered Republican, and you're protecting, and you promise, took an oath to take the bullet for the person you're protecting, whose views, whose values on life." And perspective is 180 degrees from everything you believe in. Can we really trust you to serve this president when your record, you are on record for making all of these statements? Can we really trust you? And these people, they say, listen,
it's the job.
That's the job. I'll take a bullet for anyone. That's what I do. I take pride. I take pride.
How much is the amount?
What?
Oh,
I take pride in my job. I take pride in my profession. My profession is I work for the government, and the government assigns me to protect someone. That's what I do. I don't differentiate between Republican, Democrat, between male, female, between color, not color. I take pride in professionally protecting people that are valuable to this country, whether I agree with their agenda or not. Okay, now, that's a very interesting thing. People say that. I watched this little documentary on YouTube probably one time, and I was very intrigued by that. And I would, you know, in halacha, in the world of Judaism, is that really a true statement? Is that really true? It's a very interesting thing. You know, you should know that there is a truth. I once had a plumber, an electrician, and he starts schmoozing with me, he starts criticizing me, and all, you know how it goes. And then he tells me that he makes a lot of money going to the most dangerous neighborhoods in New York where no one wants to go. He goes to the Bronx, to Harlem, in the most dangerous neighborhoods. He's a white Jew, Orthodox Jew, And he goes to places where a white Orthodox Jew would not want to be caught dead. And he says to me, how does he do it? And he says, no one wants to go there. That's why I get all the business. No one wants to go there because you park your van. He says, you park your van there, anywhere in that neighborhood, you go into the building to change a light bulb. You come out, the van, the van is gone. You call the police say, we can't help you, sorry. Sakonis
nefashos. On the Lower East Side, in the Alphabet City, as they would call it now, we had a piece of property, it was a supermarket, and I have you see in 6th Street. And when there was a break-in, they called, they had the police over there. And I had to go, my boss called me up from Florida to tell me to go inspect the place and see what's going on. And I saw a police car on milk crates. I said to a cop, what happened? He said, the guy's in trouble because they're instructed, one guy has to stay with the car.
Right.
One guy gets out, you can't leave the car. And he said, and this guy's they're gonna give him a lot of trouble because
they left the car.
They took the tires off the police car.
Yeah, well,
So he tells me, the ambulance shows up, there has to be a police car.
It's not a joke. So he tells me, how do I do? I go there, I park the car, the van, with all my equipment in front of the most dangerous building. I find the local black man, and I take out a $5 bill, and I say to him, wash my van. Rabbi Sai, I give him $5, and I say, can you wash the van? Wash the van.
He's going to wash the $5.
Wash the van, clean water, soap, W-A-S-H, wash. Yeah, $5, it's more than I know, okay. And he goes, he gets his, and he washes the van. And because, this is the chachma, it's the shir chachma, it's not just to wash, it's to wash, to do something to the van, to make the van look nice. He takes, this is a local black guy, he takes pride in it. No one's touching that van. No one's touching that van. He'll give up his life for that van.
Not true.
What?
Again, Dr. Gurman had a brand new Cadillac in the garage, and he asked somebody who was going on a trip, he said to wash the van, to wash his Cadillac, and
wash?
He came by to pick it up later, and it was gone. He said, you came and picked it up. The guy came and said, I don't have to finish, I'll take it now. It wasn't him. And he
all right, this is what he told me.
This is
what he told me. So you see a tremendous chiddush, is that when you give a person a role, when you give a person a role, even if you put aside your agenda and you take pride in your mission. So now that doesn't mean you like the person. I don't like your I love myself. I love myself and I love my mission. My purpose in this world is to wash this van and to show off what I've done. I love myself. I don't like the person. But I like the van. If I would give him $5, he would take the van, the whole van, kill the person. Here it says, Hinei ein Hashem el yirayah. According to the Mitzvot David, it doesn't say that Hashem loves those who fear him. Hashem takes care of them. You gave me $5. You're Yorei Shamayim. You give me $5. Oh, you gave me $5, so you know what? I'll take care of you. There's a much more profound interpretation. Hashem loves the person. Ayin ba'ayin nira ato Hashem. It's not just that Hashem, okay, I made a world and there are rules. The rules are, if you fear me, I take care of you. You give me $5 to wash the van, I'll take care of everything. I will oversee, I will call my network, I'll tell them, guys, behave yourself. I'll share the $5 with you. Behave yourself. I'll take care of it. Do I love this Orthodox Jew? No, I don't. Tomorrow night, if I'll see him in a dark alley, I'll kill him. But right now, I love myself. I have a mission. So you can say, oh, your person is a Yorei Shamayim. You follow the rules. So Hashem, okay, you follow the rules. I will reciprocate. I will take care of you. It's much deeper than that. Whenever you use the word ayin, ki ayin ba'ayin nira ato Hashem, Rashi, eyes, when you say the word eyes, especially ayin be'ayin, here it doesn't say ayin be'ayin, but we're being a little bit more homiletic, and that is chiba. When you use the word eyes, there's an expression of love. It's not just I'm doing my mission, I'm also expressing love for the person. Okay, let's go further than the Mishnah.
By the way, it's mentioned in another place, Ayin Be'ayin. It says, Bezman HaGeula, the Ayin Be'ayin Yiru B'Shuv HaShem Tzion.
Love.
That's number one. And Ba'aliyah LeRegel, it says, Yeira'e Kol Zchulcha. And Chazal says, Yir'e Yeira'e.
Beautiful. Ayin Be'ayin. Wow, that's a very good part. That's really good. Yere yere, that there's Hashem looks. Al tikri yere el yere. Hashem looks, and we are seen. Okay, let's see.
You have to be seen.
You have to be seen. So therefore, there's an allusion to ayin be'ayin, which is according to Rashi, is chiba, is an expression of love. Let's go back over here, back to the Mitzvah David. The Mitzvah David on page 292. Ayin hashkochas Hashem yal yireyav asher yikavu l'chasto yutes l'chatzil v'af im hateva yinaged, to save them. Bo ro'o b'hiyois ro'o ba'olam. There are times of ro'o in this world. This is a very important thing in this week's parasha. L'chatzil mimavis nafshem u'l'chayosam bo ro'ov. Borov, Behyois Ro'ov Bo'ilam. I said what I say, Ro'ov when there's a famine. There are times in this world that are not good. That was last week's parasha, Parashas Bilam. Bilam's expertise is knowing the Zman. There are times when that we are vulnerable. There are tkufas, there are eras, Zmanim, when things are not good. V'anochi chaster aster panai bayoim hahu. Okay, so even when we enter into a matzav of bayoyim hahu, of hester panim, during those times we are vulnerable, Hashem is there especially to protect us. And if not for Hashem's extra special protection, it would not work out well for us. Pasichof nafshenu, lezetichaken nafshenu, el Hashem ki humi olam oizelanu, He always saves us. So here, if you look over here a little bit, getting a little bit of a hint of what's going on over here, the difference between the word lamayachalim versus the word chikisa. The word lamayachalim, according to Boro'ov, appears to be a yearning for your physical well-being, whereas chikisa is a yearning for your spiritual well-being. Okay, there are two types per person, that's two needs. You have physical needs, food, shelter, health, children, and then there are spiritual needs that you should be satisfied spiritually. You should not be an amoritz. I went to a Sima Masech Yevamos recently, and the guest speaker says that the worst thing is to be an amoritz. The worst thing in this world is to be an amoritz, ignorant in Torah. People, not everyone has everything. I know not everyone has money. Not everyone, unfortunately, is healthy. Not everyone. People are missing things in life. Hashem does not give every single person everything. Every person gets what Hashem wants him to have. And of course, a person can strive and can work very hard to achieve certain success. But it's very rare to be successful in everything. You know. But the thing that is the greatest disgrace not to have is to have basic Torah knowledge. It is a disgrace to be an am ha'aretz, an ignoramus in Torah, and person has to know that. That's priority number one. Priority number one in life is not to be an am ha'aretz. You should know halacha. You should know how to learn a Daf Gemara. You should know to be sensitive to matters of a ruchnius. And that's a critical element. That is called Shalom Aleichem. Good morning. So that is called here what it says in the Pasuk, that's the difference between the word chikisa and the word and the word lamayachalim. The word lamayachalim is used in the context of boro'ov, of physical, a person's physical well-being. And the word chikasa is used in the context of spirituality. Pasuk of Aleph Kivoy, Bishuasa Yismach Libenu Kivo Vatachlu Vidarko Loshia Lamot Kimbo. And Hashem, now notice over here what he has done. Look what, how clever how, what he has done. Pasuk of Aleph, notice that the Mitzudis David added in the missing word. Remember when we started, we said that there are three words. There is Melech Oizer, Umashiach, Umogain. So we asked the question. In this Mizmar, we have Oizer, and we have, we don't have any more. We're out of Melech Oizer, Umashiach, Rabbi Mayeski knows it by heart. He knows it by heart, on his side. He's just humble. He makes believe. He puts down a chumash in front of him. Melech Oizer, Umashiach, Umogain. There are three different madregas. Oizer, Moshiach, Umogain. So in the pasuk of here says there is Oizer, Nafshenu Chikisola Hashem Ezreinu, and then there is Umogineinu, Mogin. Well, where is the Yeshua? So it's very clever how the Mitzudas David says Kivo. That's the next pasuk. Kivo in Hashem Yismach Libenu. He writes here Bishu Osoy Yismach Libenu. Kiboy in him botochnu. V'darko and he emphasizes the second time. V'darko lehoshia lahabayt chimboy. Interesting. So he, according to the Mitzudas David, he's saying the word bitochoin. The word bitochoin is basically the counterpart to Yehoshua of salvation, which then means that Ezreinu, Navshenu Chikisa, is yearning, we yearn for Ezer, and we have bitochoin in Yehoshua. And what about a Mogain? Mogain, it seems, is part of a yearning. So to the fact that it says, the Mitzvah of here is saying, the fact that it says, Ki v'shem kodeshoi votochnu, I have faith, bitochoin, that there will be salvation in Yehoshua. Let's take a step back. What is the difference between Ozer and Moshiach? Melech, Ozer, Umoshiach. What is the difference?
I have an explanation for that.
Yeah.
Ozer is preventive medicine. Magen is also preventive medicine. Moshiach is already, you are in Tzara'a, and then you have to be saved.
Exactly.
He's talking about before.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
The explanation that I heard on that.
Ozer is helping, and Moshiach is rescuing.
When you say those three things, I was told, and I think it's from my guy, so he gave that explanation, Ezreinu is you're asking for help. You are asking for Moshiach. Hashem is going to help give us a Moshiach, Yeshua. And Mogain is preventive. Mogain, you want to not even to have the problems. It should be your Mogain can protect us from the problem ever happening to be here.
So basically, I think
the rush is that it's filling up in my was. You have to go. The Ozer, the Melech already is the beginning, actually. The Melech is one that has providence in general. Ozer, Hashem actually helps a person. Helps a person, the person needs help. Moshiach, he has to rescue them. So not only Hashem is Melech, he's Ozer, he helps. But Moshiach is higher levels. Moshiach, he rescues. For Morgain, that he protects, like you said also, so you don't even need the rescuing.
Right.
You're protected from beforehand that you're okay.
So I
going up in the minus that Hashem is giving
us. In desperation.
So I think what you're all saying basically the same idea. Ozer, God helps those who help themselves. People, I know what I want to do. I know exactly what, and I'm going to do it. But you know, you need siyata d'shmaya. Just because I have all of the best weapons, I have intelligence, reconnaissance, I have everything you can possibly want. just because I got it all, I'm going to do it. I have al derech hateva, I will succeed. But we all know, we learned in the previous sukkim, sheker hasus l'shua, uvroiv chelo lo yimalit. You need siyata d'shmaya. Hashem, help me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it myself. But I need your help, Hashem. Ozer. God helps those who help themselves. Moshiach, you lie down on your bed. I'm on strike.
I'll take care of it.
I'm doing nothing. I'm going to go to sleep, and you take care of it. Hands off. Ooh, that's already a whole different madrega. There's a very big problem now. There's a war going on, and I'm in a lot of trouble, and the ship is sinking. I'm not doing nothing. I'm not going to go to try to fix, to plug the holes. I'm going to go to sleep, and you're going to bring the salvation. And Mogen means, it's even a higher level. I don't even know there's a problem altogether. I'm just going to go about my daily business. You're going to protect me to such a degree that when I'll come back from the trip, wow, look at that. We had a big hole in the ship and the ship didn't sink. And I wasn't even aware of the danger to call out. Avraham, many Mefarshim know that these three terms, they correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham was the Oizer. He went out to the world. He fought the whole world. He fought the whole world. He fought the four kings, the five kings with Lot. Avraham waged a world war. He fought against nine kings. Avraham, he went out to the world and he tried to make of people. He was a hands-on, practical person. He believed in his shtadlus. You don't sit back and do nothing. He was a shtadlon. He was an askon par excellence. Lot was captured. Vayorek es chanichov. Go to war. Battle stations. Let's go to war. He went out to war. And Hashem helped him. He succeeded. If not for the siyata d'shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping him, he would have been dead in 1 second. Yeah?
I don't know if it's such a kasha what you're asking, why he doesn't say all three. Because this seems to be the style of Governor Melech in Kukvav. Says also by Yashir Miyad Soineh and Yivole Miyad Oyeh. It says only two of them.
Okay, I'm just taking the fact that the Mitzudas David bangs in here the word salvation or Yeshua, and he connects it. Why is he doing that? The Mitzudas David is from the greatest of the great. It's obviously because the word Vatochnu. The word Vatochnu automatically, it's a revelation of what the word Vatochnu means. Let's go back to Avraham to the apple first. Avraham was an Ishtadlon. He went out to work. He went, he didn't believe in sitting back and doing nothing. He went with his bare hands, he built an empire. He made a klal. Yitzchak was an oyla tamima. We don't find Yitzchak fighting very much. Yitzchak was brought as a karbon. He was on the mizbeach. He was about to be slaughtered. It was over. He didn't pray to Hashem, Hashem save me, Hashem save me. My father's about to murder me. He didn't do that. He said, okay, I'm going to die. I'll kiddush Hashem. And then all of a sudden, Hashem was a Moshiach. Vayikru loy Hashem elokim in Hashemai. Vayikru loy malach elokim. Avraham, Avraham, al tishlach yodcha el hanar. Yal tas loy mu'uma. Yitzchak's salvation from dying came without any, he was in a sakana. I mean, he was in the oil of tamima, al kiddush Hashem, of course. But the end was he didn't die, and he had nothing to do with him not dying. The Malach Elokim in Hashemayim, Al Tishlach Yodcha El Hanar. Acherev Chada was Munachas Al Tzavoroi, literally. Like Chazal say, Al Tisyayish Men Aparonis, Afilu Cherev Chada Munach Al Tzavoroi, Al Yisyayish. Yitzchak was going to die. Okay, he was going to die for a good reason. He was going to be an Oyla Tamima. Kach Hashem said. Okay, but the bottom line is, it's over. Life is over. And then he did nothing. Nothing. And his salvation came. I forgot the. What about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu was always on the run. Yaakov Avinu was not fighting wars. He was just escaping, running away. He was running away. Yaakov Avinu was not battling. Almost everything with Yaakov Avinu. Avoid confrontation. That was his mahalach. Esav wants to kill me, I run away. I go to Lavan. Lavan wants to kill me, make trouble for me, I run away. I just take the blows. I take it. I don't fight. Then he returns back to his parents. He hears that Esav is coming, the Arba Meos Ish Imoi. I don't want confrontation. He prepares a gift. He separates. He comes and he bows down before him 7 times. He's not. Aaron Avinu went to fight. Vayorak es chanichav. He went to battle. There's a very big difference in the approach to life of Avraham and Yaakov. Avraham never gave in. Avraham was a fighter. A fighter. He went at Avraham or Ivri. The whole world is on one side. I'm on the other side. And I'll go and I'll fight with you. He went and he engaged them. He fought with them. He didn't just I'll just sit in my corner and do whatever I want. He had a Hotel Eshel. You come into my house. And Kiruv, he was a Lubavitcher. He went and did Kiruv. He engaged in the world. He fought. Yitzchak, nothing.
I like to say that the whole reason for Yehomek Yishimo was a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sometimes you have to
fight. Okay, that was the Yotzim Naklal, that experience. The three words, we start off Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That's the beginning of the blessing. What is the end of the blessing? Melech Oizer Umoshia Umogain. Oizer Kineged Avraham Umoshia Kineged Yitzchak Umogain Kineged Yaakov. The Chasima is Me'ein the Psicha. Baruch, and then we go back to Ota Avraham. Baruch Atah Hashem Mogain Avraham. So you ask me a question, but Mogain Avraham is the other way around. Okay, that's a question. That's a question. But it's not a coincidence that there are three different expressions. There are three different expressions in the Chasima, which correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Maybe something the other way around. Other way around is Melech Oizer. Oizer refers to Yaakov. And Moshe is Yitzchak, Umogain is Avraham, whatever. But one thing is, however you want to learn it, the middle one is always Moshiach. When there is a tzara, and Hashem takes you out of that tzara. So here we learn new vocabulary. We have two words here. We have the word lamiyachalim, and we have the word botochnu. The word lamiyachalim is associated with oizer. Oizer. I'm sorry, the second word, chikasa, which is almost the same as lamiyachalim. A yearning for Hashem to help me. Hashem, I'm going to battle. I'm a hishtadlan. I take matters into my own hands. I don't sit back and do nothing. I go to work. I work, I fight, I use my bare hands, but I acknowledge I need you to help me. If there's no siyata d'shmaya, I'm going to lose. So the yearning that I should be successful in my own labor, the correct term of yearning is chikisa. I have a plan. I have a rock solid plan. I know of a battle plan that's been tested. I have all the experience. I've done all of the hishtadlus. But you know, Sheker Hasus L'shua. I need Siyat L'shua. The yearning, the feeling, the desire that you, Hashem, should help me in my hishtadlus, the correct term is chikisa. When I am in trouble, I'm in a bunker, in a bomb shelter, and every other second is another explosion, and any moment my life is over, and there's nothing for me to do. There's nothing for me to do. I'm locked up. I'm in prison. I need your intervention. That's bitachon. Bitachon is an expression that's used in reference to Yehoshua. I'm finished. I have to have bitachon that Hashem will take me out of this sorrow. I'm going to do nothing because there's nothing for me to do. I'm in a matzav now where it's over. The ship is sinking. What could I do? I've done all the hishtaglos. Now I have bitachon, you're going to save me. And what about the expression of morgain? Well, the truth is morgain, you don't even know what's going on. So I don't know. That we need a word. We need a word to define the yearning for a morgain. What is the correct word? Is it kivinu? We have to, doesn't say over here. Over here we have two words. We have the words chikisa for the ezer. And the Mitzudas David says that for the bitachoin automatically, that automatically means for Yehoshua. Okay, Pasuk HaBez Nebis Mitzudas David.
There's a well-marshah at the end of Makos that says, what is the point? Yogeli be Yeshua Sefa, and Yogilo Benismacha Yeshua So, is the reality is, it's wonderful when somebody comes to help you. You feel good. But imagine if you know that something major happens and it's only by the hand of God. How much happier do you feel that God came to my rescue? So that's why you say, Yogeli be Yeshua Secha, we want you to help us, not somebody boss of a dumb. It's a good feeling to know that you were saved. But imagine knowing that God saved you.
That's a whole different dimension.
Right.
Absolutely. And then he writes over here, Kasher, then he writes, Yichas Hashem on the Kasher Yichal Nulach. So the Kifi Atikva came Yehachesed. Going back to the word Yichal, the kindness, he says the word he interchanges the word Yichalnu, which is really the same word as Lameyachalim. Is it the same word? Mechayra Lameyachalim Yud Ches Lamed Yachel. It's the same word, and he over here translates it as the word as Tikva, hope. All right, let's see Rashi. Rashi, there is no Rashi on this. Let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak, Pasuk Yudches, Hinei Ein Hashem El Yirayav, Hinei Haboitchem Bechelem Lo Yinotzlu Avol Yirei Hakel. It's the continuation, Rav Machol said this. This is a continuation of the previous two Pesukim. The previous Pasuk mentioned that the person has assets. He has sus, sheker, the sus, and there is wealth. It's all a lie. You know, obviously, there's a little bit of a play. There's a play on the word over here. It's cheloi and meyachalim. Okay, there's the ches and the lamed. Rav Kalman, you like this type of stuff. Loshoin noifel al haloshoin. You cannot ignore the fact that in the previous pasuk we talk about a person's chayil, his wealth. People,
what are you doing right now?
I'm doing now the radak, page 293, in the radak pasuk yudches. It's obviously over here a play on the word. Over here we're using the word lamayachalim, yachel. Yachel Yisrael El Hashem. Hope in Hashem. Isn't that word yachel phonetically related to the word chayil, money, strength, power? Many people in this world believe that money can solve all problems. It's true. Not all, but many, many problems. Money talks.
Nachla related?
Money what?
Nachla.
Nachala?
Machala.
Machala, illness?
Yeah.
Machala, cheslamit. Interesting,
closer,
I don't know.
Closer to feel.
Yachel, it's the same letter as ches yud lamit, but the ches is chelo, but there's obviously a phonetic relationship between the word chayil, cheloi, and yachel. People, there are people who rely on their money. I have money, and I can buy anything. You go into a hospital, for enough money, they'll treat you. If they're only getting Medicaid, Medicare, we're getting it for you $18, you know, buddy, we're not gonna really go the extra mile to help you get better. You're on your own, too bad for you. But if you're paying out of pocket, you walk in from Saudi Arabia, and you put that on the table $1 million, you can bet all the doctors are pulling out all their best stuff, you know, in order to heal the person. Money helps. Money goes a very long way.
There
means something different.
Mean a woman of
money.
Doesn't mean money.
For some people it does.
Money doesn't buy
For some people it does.
Doesn't buy help, by the way. You know,
okay, obviously in that context.
But I think people who trust in their own strength and abilities and power, you know.
Fine. In their own koyach.
Their own koyach.
So we do the play on the words. Yachel Yisrael El Hashem. The ultimate thing to rely upon is your emunah, is your hope in Hashem. Don't rely on your chayil, rely on Yachel, on your emun in Hashem is a play on the words. There's a phonetic similarity. You're going to be kotze ela kotze. The people who rely upon chayil versus the people who rely upon the fact that they are believers. And they say, Yachel Yisrael el Hashem. Lama Yachel im
l'chasto. I just remember something, the difference why Morgenu is Abel. Ezreinu and Moshiach are both physical things, and Yitzchak and Yaakov were in the physical part. Abraham went out to battle the
spiritual.
The spiritual. And then we say, Abraham, the spiritual
protection. Well, Avram was also thrown into the Kivshon by Nimrod.
Four and five kings.
And Avram fought the four and the battles, the four and the five kings. So there was.
The way it was explained, it was that those two were on a gashmius level, and that was on a
ruchliistic level. Okay. Kinei ein Hashem ul Yireyav. So over here, the Radak, it's a very important Radak where he's coming to say that this pasuk is the natural response to the previous pasuk. Those people that rely upon their wealth, their koyach, versus those who are miyachel to Hashem. Hinei haboitchem b'cheilom lo yinotzlu, avul yirei Hashem el haboitchem b'kel v'hamiyachalim l'chasto shmir asokel aleihem. Hashem is going to guard them. V'yatzilei mikol mechayil rav. Yutes la'atzil mimoves nafsham mimoves b'mulchama, to save their neshamas in war. V'imyavai ro'av bo'olam. So here he's saying over here, the Radak is explaining the repetition. Okay, it's not just, according to the Radak, it's not just poetic repetition. Rather, it's referring to two different types of tzaros which exist in this world. There is milchama. The world is always full of wars. What's going on in Ukraine and Russia? I have no idea. Maybe someone can figure it out, what's going on over there. Terrible things are going on over there, but no one seems to understand what exactly it's all about. There's wars, and then there is famine. Rahman al-Islam, we're going now through a recession. It's a terrible thing. A lot of businesses are downsizing. I know someone who has a business. Terrible. He's laying off people. Terrible, terrible things are happening. People are losing money. So there are two different nisyonos. So here he says in this passage, war. Is when the economy, there is no war necessarily, but the economy is not where it should be. Next. Hashem, this is a beautiful expression. Misabev sibois. Play on the word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he arranges things. He brings about the hashkocha pratis. He makes arrangements that even in difficult times, these particular people who are Kei Hashem and Miyachim L'chasto, Hashem sustains them and He satisfies them. Pasuk Chof, Nafshenu, V'anachnu Yireyov Miyachim L'chasto, Nafshenu Chikusel Hashem L'hu Ezreinu Mogineinu, therefore he saves us, Kivo Yismach Libeinu B'hinatzleinu Min Oroiz, when Hashem spares us, Yismach Boi Libeinu, Ki Hikarnu, we recognize, Now this is a very deep idea, is that when the salvation indeed does come, do you really want, that's the way Hashem operates. This is just the way it always is.
By the way, what the Gemara says, by the reason you say Mogen Avram, it says on a few Mogen Law by Abraham.
Tzchorcha harbe miyot. Right. It says, that's right. So the question is, what does that mean? Why?
It says, you know, and the few psukim before that, it says, Hashem yigein tzorecha miyodecha, vayiten lo ma'aseh miko, and then it says, onochi mogein loch.
So there are two different usages of the word mogein by Avraham. One is a shield, onochi mogein loch, and the second was, asher migein.
Before that, a few psukim before, it says,
to deliver. Mogein.
Right.
Migin means, in that context, means to deliver. And
after
the second usage...
This is after you say it's low, so that's it. Because you did that.
So Avraham had the whole spectrum of mog. There's a mogain and there's a migain. Two completely different meanings. And we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, mogain Avraham, it has to be that it alludes to both. Number one is Hashem protects.
Right.
Number two is Nigain Tsarecha Biodecha, which is a whole different word.
Right.
To deliver your enemies into your hands. And obviously they must be related. they must be related, these two words, because they have the same exact letters, the vowels. You know, we always have that principle that it changes the word 180 degrees. A mogain, basically, it's true here. Mogain means shelter. Keep my enemies far, far away. Shield me. Shield me. I don't want to know from them. And when you change the vowels, you go 180 degrees. Not only do I know them, do I know from them, I got them right here and I got their neck in my fist. I'm the Baal HaBos. I control them. You delivered my enemies right into my hands.
His army just as silly gematria is Tzva and Mogain on the same gematria.
Tzva?
His army, 93.
So you have the same word, Mogain. When you change the vowels, like so many other words, you go 180 degrees. Avram Avinu, he captures, he's the Mogain Avraham in its full glory. But Avram Avinu, there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the goyim far, far away. Don't bother. And there are times when Avram Avinu is in total control of them. Total, total control. In Orel Amin, when Klal Yisrael, Mashiach will come, when Mashiach will come, the Jewish people will be in Orel Amin, and all of our enemies will sit at our toes to follow our desires, to do our needs, and to learn from Klal Yisrael how to serve Hashem. And at times when we are not in that matzav, Hashem protects us at least to keep them far away. Don't trouble, don't cause harm to the Jewish people. All right, let's finish over here. Now, this is a very important point over here. This is a very innocent thing, but it's really not. Because often in life, this happens every single day, it's a very big mistake in life, is where a person is in a very difficult situation, even not a difficult situation, and you begin to wonder, what's going to be? How am I going to get through the day? How am I going to get through this difficult situation? And then, a week later, it worked out. And then, yes, how to work out? It worked out, so if you really want to, you want to be honest, because Hashem, He pulled all the strings. The chances of A, B, C, D coming together in such a unique formation to get me out of this problem, it's not 0.0001, like we always say. The chances were zero. And it was the Yad Hashem, the Hashkocha Pratis. But then what happens more often than not, unfortunately, is it wasn't Hashem. I got lucky, whatever, I got lucky. It wasn't a problem to begin with. I thought it was a very big problem. I see it wasn't really a problem. That's nothing to do with Hashem.
Well, there's a famous joke. They say that a person, you know, was, let's say, late for, just on time for Mitzvah or to the Shir. So he's driving, he says, I call this Oracle, please get me a space,
Parking in front.
Who's in front, the bomb moves out. He says, never mind, I found it myself.
Exactly. Never mind, I found a space. Exactly. Hear what he said? A guy is coming to a Shir Hashem, please, I need a parking space. And then all of a sudden, a miracle, a guy pulls out, and you go, and so the person says, first of all, forget, cancel the order, I got a parking space. It's exactly the Nisayan. So often we have problems, and then the Nisayan passes, and we fail to recognize that Hashem was the one that took us out of the Nisayan. It's exactly what it says over here. It says over here, Kivo yismach libeinu, ki v'shem kodsho v'tochnu. Over here we're describing a person's lamayachal and lechasto. There's a problem, and now the problem passes. David pledges. He makes a pledge that when the problem comes to an end, I'm not going to be from those people who say, Hashem, forget it, I found the parking space. I pledge in advance that I will acknowledge that the salvation is coming through you. It's not just a coincidence. It's not because that the problem was not so great. Look at the Mesudas of the Radak. It's a very... Kivo Yismach.
I would like to mention something in my past. When I was in the army, in the Israeli army, they call it Tzva Haganah Yisrael. Haganah.
Protection. Okay? Defense force.
Protection.
Israeli and defense force.
I remember the whole time. The best Haganah is Hatkafah.
What does that mean?
This is the best protection.
Is what?
So that would be a kavodlo of the tzad.
Wait. What you said? The best haganah is what?
To attack.
Preemptive strike.
You fight.
The preemptive strike is the best defense.
That's sahar. And here, probably he said, Hashem yigen tzarech tamiyadecha. It's probably the same thing. He wants to attack.
So you're going back to Morgaine. You're going back to the best Morgain is Migain. Is to deliver the enemies into your hand, is to go on the offense. Okay, that's an interesting idea. The best Morgain, the best defense is to be Migain. Is that Hashem should deliver the enemies into your hand by going and attack on the offense. Very interesting.
Sometimes Hashem does it.
Yes. Okay, now the Meradak over here, he says his dove is making a pledge. What's the pledge? The pledge over here is that this is a very, very important Meradak. Right now we got a problem. We have a difficulty. I pledge that when this sorrow comes to an end, I'm not going to be from those people who say, oh, it was just a coincidence. I got by. I'm going to go back, bend backwards to seek and understand how this salvation was only because of you. I pledge to recognize ki hatishua, the salvation bo'olonu me'itoy, that it comes from you. Ki v'shem kashav v'tachnu v'vichu hitzihid silanu. You know, they have now a lot of women, and I'm not a big fan of this. So a disclaimer, not that it makes things right, but I made this anyway. But there are a lot of people today that are into this segula of saying nishmas. Okay, they even the article published a book, Yisro Besser, he wrote a parish on Nishmas, that if people go around, you hear this from the Segula people, the Am Segula, that if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, has a problem, you know what you should do? Sit down in a quiet room where no one's bothering you, read the Tzvila of Nishmas. Nishmas, in addition to saying Tehillim, in addition to giving tzedakah and making a cheshbon hanefesh and doing all the things that you're supposed to do after you've done all the basics. Okay, the basics come first. Tehillim, tzedakah, tefillah, cheshbon hanefesh, musar, and if you have more time, skula time, every day, 5 minutes, skula time.
I've heard.
Skula. To say nishmas.
That after you are salvaged or whatever, you should in front of a minion of 10 people.
That's another thing. That's Haidah. But even in advance,
one of the things you will do is to say Nishmas.
But we're talking about an Am Segula.
But that's what this pasuk is.
Before the salvation.
That's what I heard. When you have a problem, you should make a neder that I will say Nishmas in front of 10 people, a minion.
When it happens. So
which
I heard.
I heard even better.
I heard even better that the segula is that you should say nishmas before the salvation.
Okay, that's what they.
Why? Because it puts you in a different frame of mind. This pasuk, it puts you in a different frame. Right now, there's a big tzara. Here, everybody say. Right here, everybody say. Please, let me say my piece. Let me explain my piece. A person, Rachmanson has a tzar. So what do? You say Shira Malois, Esonai Ilhod, Imaya Wazri. You say Tilm, what's the problem? You did everything you could possibly do. There's still a problem. The problem is Hashem may actually help you. But Hashem will say, why should I help this guy? After I go and I pull all the strings and Mesabeb Kol HaSibois, and the problem is over, the next day, you know what he's gonna say? Hashem, you didn't do it. It was an act. It was just a coincidence, or the problem wasn't as great as I thought it was. So I should go pull all the strings for this guy, and then the person will totally ignore me. This fellow has a history. He has a history of coming and begging me for salvation. I bring him salvation, and then he looks back and he says, Hashem, you did nothing for me. You didn't help me. So you gotta put yourself in a different frame of mind. You have to put yourself in a frame of mind that when the salvation will come, I will thank you. I will acknowledge that it was you who brought about the salvation. So how do you do that? Practice. Start practicing right now. Start practicing right now. Right now, say Nishmas and thank Hashem for the salvation. What are you out of your mind? It didn't happen yet, the salvation. You're deep in the tzara. You're thanking Hashem, what are you out of your mind? This is a joke? This is a joke? What are you doing over here? You're saying Nishmas? The Gedolim say to do this. Okay, they say, this is something that is very strange to me because I'm not from this type of world. When you do this, but the Gedolim, they publish books. You have a big, big tzara. Say Nishmas. Make believe the salvation already happened and say Nishmas. What's that all about? There has to be some logic behind it. It's this pasuk. The problem is people have a tendency to have grace, to have tzaras, and they pray to Hashem, help me, help me, help me. And then when the tzara is over, there was never a tzara to begin with. How do you know this? Many gedolim say, they all say this, is that people, they sit the whole day. What do they do with them? They go, I don't know how they say it. They don't lose their mind. What do the rebbes do the whole day? What do they do the whole day? They learn? No, they don't learn. They daven all day? No, not really. They listen to people's tzaras. People, they line up a long, long line. They go into the rebbe. Rebbe, I got a big problem.
And you know what their biggest complaint is?
No one ever comes to tell them. Exactly. They sit the whole day. I got this sorrow. I got this sorrow. And this sorrow. The whole day, you lose your mind. You lose your mind. You hear all the sorrows. And then what happens? Go fast forward a year later. All of those sorrows, what happened? Some of them didn't work out well. But many of them, miracles happened. Mamish unbelievable miracles happened. To the people who experienced the miracles, the people that were lining up and crying before the Rebbe and giving money, pidyon, and doing this, do they ever come back and tell the Rebbe, Rebbe, guess what? A miracle happened. Things worked out. It just happened to work out. There was a solution. It worked out. Do they come back and tell the Rebbe? No! They don't tell the Rebbe. They all say this. They never come back and tell the Rebbe. Why not? That's part of the problem. That's part of the problem is because you know why they don't come back? Because when the miracle happened, many of these people don't even recognize that it was the Yad Hashem. It's just a coincidence, or it turns out that the problem wasn't really so bad. It wasn't as bad as I originally thought. It wasn't a problem to begin with. You're fooling yourself. It was a real tzara. And you experienced a real poor miracle. How Hashgacha Pratis worked out for you. And when a person gets into that routine, Hashem says, I'm not pulling strings on this guy anymore. Enough is enough. He doesn't want to recognize the Yad Hashem. I'm not going to help him. A person has to practice to acknowledge that when the salvation comes, even though if you go and you'll tell people, you know what happened to me? And it's very frustrating. It happens all the time. You yourself see the Yad Hashem and you're so excited and you tell it to another person and they just say, just a coincidence. Come on. It's very disheartening when a person sees with clarity the Yad Hashem and it's human nature, you want to share your experience with another person and you tell it to them. And they look at you and they say, wow, what? This is what you're so excited about? Come on. It happens to everyone like this. Come on. And they totally destroy you. And the truth is, you're right. It's the Yad Hashem you see in front of you. And when you get into a pattern where you become like that person, then miracles stop happening. You have to train yourself. David in this pasuk is teaching us that in the middle of the tzara, train yourself to acknowledge, pledge, that when the miracle will happen, you will give to Hashem the credit that he deserves. Ki voy in Hashem yismach it's v'loshen osid. When the salvation will happen, we will rejoice. Yismach libenu ki v'shem kodesho v'tochnu, that it's Hashem who's going to bring the salvation, and it's not going to be a coincidence. Yichas Hashem l'kashet hamloch. Less from your dark, Cain, he has a limb, because man, commercial. Okay, I'm telling you.
This is just God's way of trying of remaining anonymous.
Right. But unfortunately, people have a tendency to say, oh, it was a coincidence. It was not the Yad Hashem. I daven. No, my tefillos, whatever, but the salvation, it happened by itself. That's a big problem. And that is a very great nisoyon. And this pasuk is clearly addressing that nisoyon. Don't fall into that trap. Okay, take a short break.